The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 25, beginning with the first verse. This is our Gospel for today, the Saints' Triumphant Sunday. Dear friends in Christ, everyone loves a wedding. Okay, most people love weddings. Now, first and foremost, it is when a man and a woman who are two become one according to the will and the institution of Christ. So every Christian loves the actual wedding ceremony. And we're not going to talk about that. No, we're going to talk about the wedding reception. The party. That's what most people attend weddings for. Now there's friends and family. There's good food, hopefully. Hopefully there's free drinks. People love to make fools out of themselves out on the dance floor. Everyone loves a good party. People love weddings so much that they get upset if there's a prior commitment and they can't make it to a wedding. They take off work. They go on vacations. People come from all over the place to attend weddings. Very rarely will someone forget about a wedding they were attending to when planning on attending. It's not too often that someone will go throughout their day and suddenly realize that they missed a wedding that they're planning on attending. It's a high priority in people's lives. And yet, when it comes to celebrating the marriage feast of the Lamb, many do just that. They get sidetracked by the way of the world, and they get caught unprepared for when Christ comes. So today, we talk about this celebrating the marriage feast of the Lamb. We see that the groom is coming soon and that this celebration is never ending. Now, it was the Tuesday of Holy Week when Jesus' disciples asked him about the end of the world. So he gave them, chapter 24 of Matthew, he gave them signs of the end of the world. Earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and famines and so on. And then to teach them about the urgency of his coming, urgency but being prepared that he could come at any time, Jesus told them this parable of the 10 virgins. Now at the time, a wedding celebration took about 7 days. A full week they celebrated a wedding. It started when the groom would come and pick up the bride, and then the party began. In this particular incident that Jesus is sharing with us in this parable, the groom was coming, but he's a long time in coming. It was nighttime, and there is 10 bridesmaids, virgins, waiting for the groom to come, and they would accompany him then into the wedding. But because he took so long, the bridesmaids, the virgins, fell asleep. The shout rang out, the groom is coming! And they all rose and got their lamps ready. But there are 5 foolish virgins who didn't bring any extra olive oil with them. They begged and pleaded for some oil, but there wouldn't be enough to go around. So they went into town in the middle of the night to go buy some. And in the meantime, the groom came. The 5 wise virgins accompanied him into the wedding, and the door was shut. The foolish virgins came back, pounded on the door, begged and pleaded, "Let us in." But they're left out in the cold. No one recognized them. They didn't accompany the groom into the wedding. "I do not know you," they said. Devastated because they couldn't join the celebration. Now, there are a few cultural anomalies in this parable told by Jesus on purpose. First of all, there's no mention of a bride for a wedding. Usually the bridesmaids are going to accompany her, not the groom. Not too often that a groom is going to be hours late until the middle of the night to pick up his bride for their wedding day. And finally, especially when you have celebrations lasting a week long, people are going to come and go as they please. They wouldn't be left out of the party simply because they're a few hours late. Now, Jesus put these anomalies in there for a reason, to point us to the purpose, to point us to the heavenly meaning of his parable. As he concludes, he says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Jesus, the groom, will come suddenly. We know he's coming, we just don't know exactly when he will come. But we do know that he could come at any time. It may seem as if he's a long time in coming. And so it's easy for us to fall asleep. It's easy for us to be caught unprepared. And you can tell yourself it's not going to happen. You can tell yourself that you won't be caught unprepared. I'm sure the five foolish virgins thought the same thing. They say we must be prepared at all times. And it's so easy to let our mind wander, to get caught up in what the world says is important, whether it's friends or family or work, money. We tell ourselves, I'll be prepared when Christ comes. Maybe I'm not prepared now, but once I get my life in order, once I get my feet on the ground, or once I retire, or once I have kids, well then I'll start getting back into church more often, or I'll start reading the Word more often. Well then I'll worry about my faith as I'm getting older. And maybe it's not you. After all, you're here. You do have your mind on Christ right now. But maybe it's a loved one. Friends or family or relatives, neighbors. People you know who let their mind wander. People you know who have their hearts and minds focused on something other than God and His Word. And they tell themselves, well, when I get close to death, I'm going to start thinking about my faith. And maybe they mean that sincerely with the best of intentions, but many people haven't caught unprepared. They've died and met their own personal judgment day where there's no second chances. We never know when Christ is going to come again. We never know when we're going to die and face judgment. And many, like those five foolish virgins, were caught unprepared. So easy to let our minds wander. It's so easy to get enticed away by the sins of this world. And what happens when we're caught unprepared? What happens when Christ returns or when we die and we're unprepared? But we're like that those five foolish virgins and we're left out. We're left out of the party. Christ will come. He will take all believers to live with Him in heaven forever. Well, everyone else will be left out of the party. Not out in the cold, but in the fires of eternal damnation. Jesus will reply to us, who do not believe in Him, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." How horrible that would be to hear. How awful it must be to hear when you get to the gates of heaven, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." And so no one wants to be caught unprepared. But as for you, you don't have to worry about being caught unprepared. For you are already prepared. You're prepared for Christ coming through Him. That being prepared has nothing to do about preparing yourself. Your preparation doesn't depend on the amount of good works that you do, the amount of love that you show someone else. Your preparation doesn't even depend on the amount of time you spent in prayer, or the amount of time you are at His Word, or the many times you worship Him or receive the Lord's Supper. No, you are prepared by the perfect life of Christ and His innocent suffering and death. You are prepared by the fact that Christ took away your sins, removed them as far as east is from west, and he gave you his perfect life. You're prepared because Christ robed you in his white, righteous white robe through the waters of baptism. And through his resurrection, your body will be given a new life on the last day. Because of Christ, you are prepared for his coming. And it is through faith in Christ that we receive the blessings that Christ gives us. It is through faith in Christ that we receive the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So we want to be in his word. We want to receive the sacrament. We want to be in the means of grace as often as we can so we can receive this gift on the last day. Because without faith, we are unprepared. And we'll end up the same way as those foolish virgins. But in and of itself, our preparation comes from Christ. And look what awaits. The wedding feast of the Lamb, or the marriage festival of the Lamb, the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's one of the best parts of a wedding reception. The food. Catered. Sometimes all you can eat. Hors d'oeuvres. Dessert. Singing. Celebrating. Loved ones, friends and family, long lost acquaintances, people you've never met. It's all part of this wedding supper of the Lamb. There's something more. Throughout Scripture, Christ is referred to as a groom. And the church, or true believers, are referred to as the bride. And what happens at a wedding? A man and a woman, two separate people, begin their lives together. They begin to live together. And at this marriage feast of the Lamb on the last day is when Christ will take all believers to live with him in heaven. The groom has come to take us home so that we will live with him for eternity. And there with Christ in heaven at this marriage feast of the Lamb, you will share in his full glory, as Paul wrote to the Philippians. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. A glorious church made perfect and holy by the groom Jesus through his suffering and death on the cross. A glorious life means in part a perfect life, a perfect body, a body free from sin, the effects of sin, no more sorrow or weeping or gnashing of teeth, no more death. A perfect life with our groom, our Savior, Jesus. In our second lesson, John gives us a glimpse of the celebration that takes place at this wedding between Christ and his church. Songs resounded throughout the halls of Zion. Alleluia! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. And another song, Alleluia! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. At the marriage feast of the Lamb, songs of praise and exaltation fills the halls of Zion. For Christ has returned to take his bride home with him. There are two phrases that apply to most things in this life. The first is that all good things must come to an end. many wedding receptions last about midnight. By that time, many people have already gone home to bed. The party's got to end sometime. Not so with heaven. Not so with the wedding supper of the Lamb. The other phrase, too much of a good thing. You've been to a number of weddings, especially a short amount of time. They get kind of old, a little stale. You've been to one, you've been to many. Kind of get sick of weddings. There's no too much of a good thing when it comes to a perfect life in heaven. There's no getting sick of singing the praises of our Savior. There's no getting tired of celebrating this marriage feast with our Lamb who gave up His life on the cross. And it's a celebration that will never end. Midnight will never come. It's a never-ending celebration that lasts for an eternity. Forever and ever. A wedding reception with our Savior, the groom, the Lamb, for all eternity. And because of Christ, you will be there singing His praises forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.